like John's the Baltimore Harbaugh, right?
Is that a sitcom?
The Harbaughs?
Welcome to the Harbaughs.
Should be. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
They're a goofy pair of brothers.
Do you think the Jim Harbaugh thing is good for Denver? Is that something that's going to be good for Denver? And Russ?
The more I think about it, the more I don't like it. But it also would be the most Broncos thing they could do.
Yeah, go for the big hit and see what happens. Because they've done that. You know, they went for that with Russell Wilson. They thought they were doing that with Hackett. Hackett's name was up there. I mean, that was a big name. I just want to be careful here about the ownership group. And it's like, hey, we're going to swing for the fences. Well, you already swung for the fences. And so far, you struck out. We don't want to strike out again and set this franchise. But and that's why the Sean Payton thing. I'm out on Sean Payton. I'm just out on it. All of it's starting to kind of bother me a little bit. You know, the fact that he did leave New Orleans when he did. The fact that it's going to take, as we talked to Ryan Edwards on Friday, that it's going to take not only a first-round pick, but maybe a second and a third-round pick, if not a little bit more. So I'm out on that. Angel, I think it's Dan Quinn. That just seems like the guy. He's a name like those two, not quite as big as those two, but he's not coming with the fanfare. He seems like he can. Garrett Bowles said he wants a coach that flat out tells him what to do. I think Dan Quinn's that guy. I'm going against my inner child here because I want to see a name, a famous name. Harbaugh, that's great. That's exciting. That packs a punch. But I'm dialing it down. I don't want to see Peyton. I don't want to see Harbaugh. I want to go with Dan Quinn. I feel like that's the safest of the three right now.
It's safe, and you know, your little baseball analogy, it's a nice double into the outfield gap.
And we could use just a little bit.
You can use it. It's a start.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're in scoring position. Let's see what we can work here with the rest of our lineup. But, yeah, I don't think Sean Payton's coming to Denver. I'm starting to think he might not go anywhere at this point.
You think he just stays at
I think
Fox?
If Dallas wins tonight and that job stays closed, then I imagine he'll stay unless the Chargers want to make a run for him. But I don't think they have the capital to make a trade for him. And then I told you earlier, it's kind of a catch-22 for the Broncos. If the Cowboys lose tonight, it could get Sean Payton off of the list, but it could also put Dan Quinn right at the front of your list. And you're not really seeing other teams really go after him as much.
Has Harbaugh been linked to anybody else?
Not that I know of.
Payton
I think
has.
Carolina for a second, but
yeah, I think Payton is now, Carolina is now set to interview him. So we know Arizona, we know Carolina, we know Houston, we know Denver. We're waiting with the Chargers and we're waiting on the Cowboys. But as far as the teams that have openings right now, Peyton is going to be involved with all of them as far as discussions go. I haven't heard Harbaugh's name with anybody. And so, and that's not the only thing that bugs me. I mean, I get maybe some teams are just saying, yeah, no, that's a pipe dream. We're not going to go for that. But I'm just watching the John Harbaugh. The way he handles himself, the way he handles the game right now. And I know they're two different guys. Just because they're brothers doesn't mean that's the end all be all. But I was watching his little, like, halftime. They do the I don't even know why they bother interviewing coaches at halftime. Because other than your boy and, like, two or three others, like Mike McDaniel, a couple others, the others aren't going to give you anything. In fact, they're going to be jerks about it. So why even do it? Why even put those reporters through that? Unless they know, okay, Mike McDaniel will give us stuff, we'll put that into the halftime. Go.
Or if it's like an important thing, like an injury status or...
Yeah.
You know, hey, but, what was your decision making on this part? Not just, hey, what do you think about the second half?
Well, yeah, those questions are never going to be deep anyway. Because, I mean, it's
going to
be...
You only got 30 seconds.
Right. And you only have... So whoever the reporter was asking Harbaugh, she's like, what'd you think of that last call in the half or whatever? And he looked pissed. He's like, I didn't like it. He stared her down. And she's like, what are your adjustments that you need to make in the next half? I guess we'll see. And my wife's like, God, what did you, you know, my wife's watching it differently than I watch. I'm just
that's
like.
That's how they talk to people these days.
Yeah. She's like, so we're getting his brother? Is he better or worse than him as far as that goes? I said, probably worse as far as interviews
different,
go.
But worse.
Yeah. So, you know, do you want that? Is that the guy, like. And Angel, I'm thinking selfishly. Like my friends, I do some stuff down in Denver quite often. I'll drive down and do some radio stuff there. And I do set up an interview, these players. I have interviewed Nathaniel Hackett. And I'm thinking to myself, Angel, what if I pick a day to go down there and it's the day Harbaugh's on? Is that going to be crazy or what? Like, I know it's selfish of my part, but do you wonder how he is it going to be able to connect with these players? Now, obviously, he did it in San Francisco, but he did it for 4 years. Is there like a limit for Harbaugh? Is there a time where it's just, because what I've heard is that the athletic director is not like, you know, ready to pull out all stops to keep Harbaugh in town. He's ready to say, you make what you make. You're making $7 million, you're going to make $7 million.
I think he just has this a personality and a persona that's, you expect it to be a certain way and then you find out it's not. But it's not as bad as you think it might be. It's just in the middle where it's, I don't really know about this guy. Is he being serious? Is he joking? Is he being sarcastic about something? Where is his mindset at as a coach, and what's the philosophy going to be when you're not coaching kids or young adults,
yeah,
you're coaching grown men?
Will Russ's stuff, you know, his off the field stuff, resonate with Harbaugh? Will Harbaugh? I mean, what happens when they're bad? If they're bad for a stretch, or if they're just bad, is Harbaugh going to be the kind of guy that makes comments and quips about Russ and the Let's Ride and the Sierra and all Sierra, all that's the bathrooms, the mansions? Is that stuff that's going to work? This is why at the beginning of all of this, I thought Dan Quinn, and I'm not even like, trust me, when it comes to head coaching searches, dude, I don't have a guy on my list that I think, yeah, that would be amazing to go after that guy. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that has the ability to just take a team and change it overnight. They might do it in a year, but I don't think anybody necessarily is like, I'm going to go, oh, that's guaranteed to change. Because we say it about everybody. We say it, the insiders that we all listen to, the Adam Schefters, and I love them, the Ian Rappaports, and I love him, they all say the same thing. They're not going to say a bad thing about these guys because they get the inside scoop on everybody, so they're not going to knock anybody. They all say, well, this guy would be a great coach. This guy would be a great coach. All I'm hearing is Jim Caldwell's everybody missed on. Well, where's the Super Bowl ring?
I think another aspect of the coaching search to consider is the coaching staff. With a guy like Dan Quinn, you're going to get an experienced staff of coaches that, you know, it's probably a good mix of veteran coaches and guys that are getting a fresh start, but you have more variety and Quinn has more options of guys to call upon. Harbaugh, you think he's going to get a lot of Michigan staffers to come to the NFL? Are there any guys in the NFL that he's still kind of friends with,
right,
that would want to work with him?
Yeah, and that's tough to say, oh, we're going to bring a bunch of Michigan guys over here. That, just because they were excelling in the college game doesn't necessarily mean they're going to excel at the pro game, even with Harbaugh. Now, Harbaugh's proven that he can take a team and do something with them. He did that with San Francisco. I'm not necessarily worried about that. If they're all kind of in the same territory, and Dan Quinn's been to a Super Bowl. They were up big in a Super Bowl. They ended up getting beat by New England in one of the craziest comebacks ever. I still think that just seems to be the safest bet right now. Dude, what we've learned is we say the NFL draft is a crapshoot. I think hiring an NFL coach is a crapshoot. Good luck. Does he know the game? Can he lead men? That's it. And I don't know what the magic formula is outside of that. Why did Bill Belichick work? Why didn't he work in Cleveland, but he worked in New England? Is it because of Tom Brady? I mean, they were playing pretty well with Drew Bledsoe. So I guess I just look at all these situations, and John Gruden, like, how great was John Gruden before he retired? He won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. Some would argue that that was Tony Dungy's team that he built up. And then Gruden leaves the Raiders and goes and wins the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. And then outside of that, he wasn't like a world beater. How many times did Gruden actually go to the playoffs? But because of his name and everything that he did on Monday Night Football and all that stuff, suddenly it's just like, oh, you gotta hire Gruden. I still hear people to this day, bring Gruden in. What did he even do with the Raiders? I mean, that is all stuff that I just look at and say, you want to spend $12 million on a coach. 12 months. And listen, the money, there's no salary cap for coaches. There's no, you don't have to worry about that. That's their money. They're rich. They can do it. So if that's the case, fine. I don't care. I'm just trying to make sense of it. You are going to go spend $12 million on a Harbaugh, on a Sean Payton. One is proven that he's not going to stick around for very long. The other's proven that he might leave when the going gets tough. And that's all. Those are all things that I start to think about here. And Dan Quinn is the kind of guy that's like, I'm in it. Let's go. I'm here with Dallas. Let's get this defense going. And I'm very committed to this. But he's also a rah-rah kind of but in your face kind of dude. He's not a pushover. I think it's got to be Dan Quinn. I just don't know if they're going to go that route. I just think they're going to go for the sexiest hire they can possibly get, and that would be Harbaugh and or Sean Payton. It's going to come down to those two guys. I do deep down, I've changed it. I do want it to be Dan Quinn.
If it's not Dan Quinn or Harbaugh or Payton, is there another guy that you would want to be the coach?
I like Evero, but I just haven't seen enough, and I'm not willing to risk it right now. You can't go with another first-time coach. And he did dwindle toward the end here this last season. Jim Caldwell, I don't know. I'm not there. He's been out of the league for too long. Boy. You start D'Amico Ryans. No. Raheem Morris, no. Who else am I missing? It's pretty much it, isn't it? Is Rosberg even getting an interview? Because I haven't heard. The interviews that are still to come this week, Peyton, Morris, D'Amico Ryans, and Dan Quinn. David Shaw. Tell you what, I'd take David Shaw. He'd be my next one outside of the three superstars, which I'm putting Dan Quinn in the superstars because he went to a Super Bowl. I'm going to say David Shaw would be kind of a dark horse here. And that's scary to me because he's never been a head coach in the NFL, but he's been around so long that maybe it would work. But I would say probably that name. That's just because his name, though, dude. I don't know anything about his philosophy. I do know that a guy like Harbaugh would probably get the offensive line fixed up. Feel like he could come in and he would address that situation, and that's what you need to do, is you have to fix the offensive line. At some point, that has to become a priority. Harbaugh would make that a priority. He believed in building a great offensive line, and then everything else would follow suit. But I'm a little skeptical right now. They got to hire somebody, right? And the candidates that I've heard, they're about as good as you're going to get. Who would have thought Sean McVay would work out the way he did? He had a terrible season this year, Angel, and the Rams are thinking they're lucky stars they got him back. Do you think Sean McVay's decision to stay with the Rams moved him up as far as respect in a lot of people's eyes? Because the Rams have a train wreck on their hands. They got work to do to get right financially and, you know, just on their depth chart. And instead of doing what Sean Payton did, which is exactly what Sean Payton did, Angel, Sean Payton left that same situation to go do TV. Sean McVay's staying the course. He's staying with it. He doesn't want to leave. And I think he feels obligated to fix the situation. And I got a lot of respect for a guy like that.
Yeah, I've always liked Sean McVay as a coach. He kind of started this wave of young, innovative offensive coaches in the last couple of years. He gave Jared Goff a big start, who has since resurrected his career in Detroit. And then you get Matthew Stafford in, you win a Super Bowl with that team, you're on top of the world. It would be easy to just to walk away, but I think he might be looking at this as the next challenge. Like, what do you do after you've won it all and you've got all the accolades? What's the next step? And this is now, in the NFL sense, okay, you've won the Super Bowl, now it's time to semi-rebuild your team. Can you do it again? Can you prove yourself as a coach that you can do it consistently?
Yeah, there will be pressure on Sean McVay to get this situation right, to fix it now. They wanted him back. They want him back to fix it. And we'll see what they do. 20 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, the NFL playoffs. Let's get into all of it. What a weekend. We still have one more game to go in this playoff mix between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. I'm very excited about that one. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 23 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Fun weekend of football. I mean, dude, Angel, I kind of found myself almost exhausted, but in a good way. Just expecting that there's going to be comebacks and knowing and seeing what all these teams have to do to get there. It is a different style of football that we're really starting to see, and that's coaches, new age coaches or older coaches that are changing what they do. I mean, Andy Reid, we haven't seen him this weekend, but that's an older coach that's been doing it for a while. He's changed the way that he's done things. That's partly because these coaches are listening to their players. They're seeing other things that are working in college. I'll admit, they're looking at college too and seeing what works there. It's pretty exciting to see, and I think you saw a lot of that on the center stage when it came to Super Wild Card Weekend.
Definitely, this was my first weekend as a fan of a team in the playoffs. So my first experience with a playoff game. Anxiety, stress, not a ton before kickoff. I was kind of just, all right, let's just see what happens. Go down 17-0, and I was like, oh man, this is how I kind of thought it was going to go, and we're just going to roll over and die. But no, the Dolphins do not roll. They flip over and
they flip. It's a flipper.
They flap their flippers.
Flap their flippers.
And they fight back. They put the pressure on Buffalo. Quieted that crowd for a little while. It was nervous time in Buffalo for a little while.
It was. Especially, you talked about that to start the half, that fumble that they got. Obviously, that was a big deal. And, you know, ultimately, when you're looking at the way that I think the crowd started to freak out in Buffalo just a little bit. I think they were a little worried about, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Is this going to happen? And I don't know if that's just the way these playoffs are designed now where nobody's really out of it. I think it just goes to tell you that in the NFL, everybody's a lot closer than we all think. You know, the difference between sanity and insanity is very small. What is that saying? I don't know what that saying is, but that's kind of what I feel like in the NFL. The difference between a great quarterback and a great team there's not a lot compared to what you're seeing with these other teams. Brock Purdy, who the hell even knew Brock Purdy's name this year? Nobody did. And now he's going to the divisional round of the playoffs and he's leading them. He's not just not turning it over. He's leading this team. So it's exciting. It's stressful. It's fun. I mean, hats off to the NFL. This product just continues to amaze me. And that's why I say it's the best drama on television. I mean, my wife watched the last like three games with me, just sat in awe watching these games with me. You know, Saturday night, Sunday night, pretty sure she's going to watch tonight. And she's into it. There's no stress for her because she's a Broncos fan, and when they start losing, she feels bad for Russell Wilson and everything, and she just is like, yeah, this stuff. But now it's like, she was rooting for Jacksonville. I was like, you know, I picked the Chargers. She's like, yeah, but I want to see the team come back and win. And they came all the way back and won the game.
Yeah, I'm glad my team didn't get embarrassed because I probably wouldn't be watching the playoffs anymore. But just to see the excitement weekend or game in, game out, minus Seattle, San Francisco, but for a half of that game, it was pretty exciting.
Sure.
And then you get Chargers, Jags. That game was very unexpected from the start. And then Jacksonville finishes it off. Dolphins do the inevitable or do the impossible and take on Buffalo with a shot to win it. Ravens kind of with similar situation with Miami not having your starting quarterback, so just go in and fight. And they kept it close with Cincinnati, back and forth in that one. Giants-Vikings, just two powerhouse teams, really, and the better team won in that situation.
Best player in the playoffs so far. Ooh. It's got to be a quarterback, right?
I think it's either Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy at this point.
What about Daniel Jones?
Yeah, those three. It's not Josh Allen.
It's not Josh. Josh Allen had a weird game. Burrow had a weird game. He wasn't.
He does that in the playoffs. He doesn't have a great showing, but his team around him is just so good that they're going to win games.
Yeah, he had a strange game. Purdy had the, you know, as far as statistically, the better game. Man, I don't know. That's an interesting one. And we'll see tonight what happens. I'm really excited tonight. Yeah. Josh Allen threw for 352 yards, but it didn't feel like it. Allen's one of those quarterbacks now, though, where he can throw 352 and it doesn't feel like it. Brock Purdy threw 332 and ran for a lot. He ran for, I don't know what his stat total was there, but he was really good. Christian McCaffrey's got to be in there, too. He was really good. Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence. Man, some great players. Yeah, Daniel Jones ran for almost 80 yards in that game. So I would put, I don't know, Daniel Jones threw for 301 yards, and then he ran for 80 yards. I'm starting to develop this little man crush on Daniel Jones. I don't think he's the most electrifying man in all of entertainment, but he's kind of like pretty cool guy.
Just average Daniel Jones.
Dude, he's Eli Manning with speed.
Without a last name. Yeah. He's a quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
That's the name out of a hat.
Your regular guy. Yeah. Is that your real name? What's your name?
That was
Daniel Jones.
Create a player and just hit random.
Yeah. That's him. But now he's got something. There's something to this guy. And I'm pretty excited about that Philadelphia-New York Giants game.
Well, how about just his career where it started when he was drafted? It was who?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
And where?
Then for the first 3 years, it was like, this experiment's not going to work. When are they going to be done with this? This is the year. Last year was the year. The pressure's on. Okay, now it's this year. Oh, it's a new coach. Okay, he gets one more year to really see. And Dable has gotten the best out of him. Because no matter what happens now, the Giants are in the divisional round, and they're going up against the Philadelphia Eagles next weekend. In the divisional round. Jags-Chiefs. Chiefs are coming in already as an 8.5-point favorite. The Eagles are coming in as a 7.5-point favorite over the Giants.
That's going to drop.
Buffalo's coming in as a 5-point favorite over Cincinnati right now.
That's probably expected.
And then, believe it or not, we don't know. TBD versus really? 49ers. TBD. We're not putting a spread on a TBD
yet. Do you
think
either way the Niners are favored?
Yes, I do. Don't you? 3.5 over Dallas?
I think if it's Dallas, it could be...
It's home.
It could be
it's
almost
in,
a
it's
push
in, It's in San Francisco.
You may just give them 2.5.
2.5 over home. Dallas?
I think Dallas is extremely talented, especially on offense, and their defense is pretty good, too. It's just hard to bet against Tom Brady.
Are you still... You feel confident? You got Dallas covering tonight, right?
I think so.
Do you feel differently?
It's hard to say.
If the quarterback was not Tom Brady, if it was anybody else, I'm taking, and this the team's the same way, it's constructed, the same record, whatever, and it was Patrick Mahomes doing it, same numbers, whatever, then I'm probably taking Dallas because I do feel like they're more talented, but I think some kind of magic's going to happen tonight.
Well, it's just this Buccaneers team with Brady. If it's not him, it's Mike Evans as a receiving threat. And we always forget about Leonard Fournette. He's one of the best running backs in the playoffs. So it's hard to say if they're at home. They've handled Dallas the last few times they've met up with them. And can you beat America's team on national TV?
That's the question. Can you do it? And all this talk, Angel, about like Tom Brady needs to pack it in. What's he doing? Dude, he was in the top of most of the statistical categories this year. He was third in yards. You know, he wasn't, like, as far as touchdowns go, he was in the top 10. He was 26, 25, and 9. Like, that's not a must-go. I don't know that Tom's the same Tom
he used to be. He's not slowing down by any means.
But he's still going to pick you apart and take checkdowns, and they're going to move down the field. He's going to make about 4 or 5 really great throws, but most of his throws are going to be little underneath routes, little out routes. He's just going to check down to his running back several times a game. That's Tom Brady. And that's what you want. That's being a quarterback in this league right now. Is you don't always have to hit the deep stuff. You can chip away. And that's what Tom Brady does. I'm excited about this one. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Is that your boy, Uncle, giving you a tough time there, Angel, on the...
No, we settled it.
The text line? You guys are good?
We're good.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel's three-legged dog played pretty well yesterday. Kudos to the Dolphins. So that's settling it.
Yeah, he called him a three-legged dog the other day, and I said it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the fight in the dog. And Dolphin showed a lot of fight.
The fight in the Dolphin.
Yeah,
the most terrifying mammal.
They are pretty scary.
In the world.
They're very smart.
I've heard that. I've heard Dolphins are extremely smart. I just think tonight's going to be, this is another one that Broncos fans should be paying attention to in a big way. Because if the Cowboys lose, what percentage chance, Angel, would you say if the Cowboys lose, Sean Payton is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
I think it really depends on how this game plays out. If this is a back-and-forth shootout and you lose by a field goal at the end, I find it tough to get rid of McCarthy. But if you go out and have a performance like they did last week against Washington, where they only scored like 8 points in the first half, then yes. If this offense has significant struggles tonight against a not really great Tampa Bay defense, then there's going to be a lot of concerns. And it's crazy that McCarthy's job was already kind of on the table at the start of the season. Now you're in the playoffs. That gives you some credit. But if you lose badly, yeah, you might be done.
On paper, they should have the talent.
All his coordinators are getting interviews.
Yeah, so I mean, that's when you have to look at Mike McCarthy then, right? You like all your coordinators. Everybody likes your coordinators.
But how good is he going to be if he doesn't have Dan Quinn and Kelly Moore next year?
That's the thing.
And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm saying, I could go in and build my own staff.
I mean, you have the guys. Look at this offense. Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Michael Gallup. You got T.Y. Hilton on this team. You got Dalton Schultz at tight end. Connor McGovern, former Broncos, played decent. I don't know if their offensive line's the greatest in the history of the world, but their defense, Micah Parsons is a world wrecker, man. That guy can do some crazy things. Trayvon Diggs, DeMarcus Lawrence. They should be where they are, 12-5. So, yeah, they should beat Tampa Bay tonight. I just think there's going to be some Tom Brady magic tonight. I really do. I guess we'll find out. It's either going to be some kind of magic from Tom Brady, or this is like a... And then everybody at the end of it goes, just be done, Tom. Just be done.
Is it magic if he gets the ball with a minute 40 left and they're down by 3 and he takes them down the field? Is that magic, or is that just that's what he does?
It's magic. It's him. That'd be something that comes down to that.
Going to be. It's the NFL. It's too good to be scripted.
I don't want
to
have... Yeah. Yeah, what's the story? The storylines all held up, didn't they?
Pretty much.
I'm pretty sure all the storylines held up.
Other than the Dolphins getting completely blown out, but...
Yeah, but still, it was Buffalo. They're still a feel-good story. They won. They're moving on.
Josh Allen is an alien, apparently.
Brock Purdy is... Mr. Irrelevant, winning games, throwing it all over the field. Mr. Relevant now. Daniel Jones, the Giants, Dable, new coach. There's a storyline for you. I told you, Minnesota storyline, it wasn't sexy enough. Giants is sexy. A little more sexy. Not that sexy, but a little bit more. Neighborhood Jim, Daniel Jones. Look at him go.
Oh, they had Saquon, comeback player.
Yes. What else? Bengals. Storyline there. They were part of that game with DeMar Hamlin. But
can you get back to the Super Bowl?
Can you get back to the Super Bowl? Our quarterback looks like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I mean, all those things. That's a storyline. So, yeah, the stories, they all held up. Nobody wants to see Baltimore in without Lamar Jackson. Nobody really, outside of you, really wants to see what the Dolphins are without Tua.
It's very likely, though, that he would have played if they advanced.
Well, maybe. San Francisco people did want to see Brock Purdy because he had done enough in the regular season to lead you to that point going, oh, this is a fun guy to watch now. Plus, the guys above him weren't really doing anything, crazy. Mysterio, if the Dolphins would have had Ray Finkel, they probably would have won the game. Does that, do you know what that reference is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, we went 3-for-3 on field goals, so I don't know what to, I mean.
Yeah, but still, Ray Finkel. There's something about Finkel and Einhorn
rather,
and Finkel. And,
I'd rather have Snowflake back, honestly.
Well, that was what that whole movie was about.
Exactly. Give us Snowflake back.
Oh, that was a great movie. Jim Carrey in his prime.
I like the other one better, though.
Second one?
Mm-hmm. When he goes to Africa.
What was that one called, When Nature Calls?
Mm-hmm.
I
That's just like peak Jim Carrey.
I just remember the fight scene, when he's in the fight scene, and that was...
He gets both spears in his
both
leg.
Both of those spears in his leg, yeah.
Doing his hair all different.
When he won an award, years later for some garbage movie, Spotless Mind or something like that, whatever, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know. He won an award for a movie like that. That's kind of artsy-fartsy. And he goes, boy, talking out of my butt now is going to be really difficult. Because he did that in Ace Ventura, of course. And he's like, but not impossible. So always had a lot of respect for a guy that talks out of his butt. Almost literally. Pretty close.
Can't beat 1990s Jim Carrey.
You can't beat 1990s in general. Some of the movies that, some of the stuff that we were like, this is just amazing. All these shows and stuff. It's just crazy how this.
It'll never get better than this.
It'll never get better than this. They won't make anything as good as these movies. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, CSU fans, my poll question today is, where does Isaiah Stevens rank in terms of the greatest CSU Rams player of all time? He's moving up. He's a top three guy, top four, top five, maybe top three. Maybe he'll come back next year. Steve Ivey was telling us that maybe Nico Medved, the way he was kind of talking about him, that maybe he would come back. I don't know. That'd be interesting. Texter from Uncle, from Unc. Is it Unc or Uncle? We calling you Unc or Uncle? Thoughts on a staff of Harbaugh as head coach, David Shaw as OC, Evereaux as DC. I mean, it looks good on paper. That looks great. We'd get an offensive line here, I'll tell you that much. We'd get it. That'd be a focal point.
It gets tough when you're asking coordinators to stay in their position when they're aspiring to be a head coach, or if there's a guy looking to be a head coach and you say, no, I want you as an OC instead. That's where it comes into, you can get conflict there, because I think Evereaux wants to be a head coach. He may not be ready to take that jump. Maybe one more year as a DC, and if you want to have some continuity with your defense into next year and just have your head coach worry about the offense for now, that could work, because that's kind of what Miami did this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, Mike Munchak interviewed for head coach for the Broncos and then ended up on their offensive line as their offensive line coach. So it's not impossible that that happens. David Shaw is wanting to get into the NFL. If he's wanting to do that, maybe what a lot of teams want to see is, okay, how well can you coordinate in the NFL? Because you haven't done that in a while. You've been with Stanford for 16, 17 years. So what does it look like with David Shaw in the NFL? That's what we want to see. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, and Harbaugh and Shaw have a relationship. Obviously, the Stanford connection there. Would Evereaux stay on? They, you know, the Broncos, it's already been reported that the Broncos did deny the Falcons' request to interview Jiro Evereaux, which they can do, because if he's wanting to interview for a lateral job, they can shut it down. If he wants to interview for a head coaching job, which he already has, then he can do that. They can't stop that. But he can't take a lateral moving job or underneath even away from Denver. The only way he could leave Denver and still be employed in the NFL is if Denver gives him permission to do that, and if he becomes a head coach. If Carolina says, yeah, that was our guy, we want him to be the next head coach. 47 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We're going to wrap up on the other side. What's on the tube tonight, along with the big playoff game between Tampa Bay and Dallas? We'll talk about that and get closing thoughts for the day that was. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff on television today. The Avalanche are playing the Red Wings right now. They started at 1 o'clock. They're up 2-0 over Detroit, so they're rock and rolling. That's on ESPN+. You have a lot of NBA action today. They do their Martin Luther King Jr. Day where they're playing all day long, so that's all over. College basketball is rolling heavily. And then, of course, you have the playoff game tonight between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. Can Dallas get it done? Can they get it done with Mike McCarthy? And if you're a Cowboys fan, if you have a slight sense that, okay, we can beat Tampa Bay, but I don't think we're going any further than that, are you almost rooting against your team? Because then you can get Sean Payton. If you really think that a head coach like Sean Payton can take you to the next level, and you don't think that this year's your year, or if you're a Cowboys fan, you're in the playoffs, you think that this is it, you can do it. Because Sean Payton, I think I'm in the minority. I think there's a lot of people that really salivate at the idea of Sean Payton being their head football coach. Like, it is a big deal.
I think certainly in Dallas, and I don't know if McCarthy was very, very much accepted when he first got the job. You know, he was leaving Green Bay, who had a couple, you know, rough, you know, playoff losses with him, and he had the whole Dez Bryant catch and all of that stuff, and the issues with Aaron Rodgers had come up. So I wasn't sure if McCarthy was really accepted overall in Dallas. And then they just haven't had a lot of success. Yeah, they're winning games, but Prescott's been off and on injured. The running Ezekiel Elliott kind of disappeared for a little while. They get to the playoffs and they're not, you know, winning games in the playoffs. So at some point, you reach a limit with your coach and say, this is as far as this guy is going to take us. Do we keep working with it? Maybe we get over it? Or do we go get a proven coach that would give us the energy and the boost we need?
Which Sean Payton would do that. It would be like, I feel like an all-star cast over there with him. So that could be, you know, Dallas loses tonight. There's a new trajectory for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going all in on Sean Payton to see what we can do.
And they would quickly be Super Bowl favorites.
They would be up there. Yeah, they'd be up there. And for Tampa Bay, lose this game tonight, lose any point, even if you win the Super Bowl, you just get the feeling that Tom Brady's time with Tampa Bay is at least almost done.
Feels like he's accomplished everything he wanted to. If it was just about proving that he's better than Belichick, certainly did that. If it was playing one more season with Gronkowski, you wanted to do that, certainly did that. So your legacy has been proven now and cemented that you can win anywhere, basically, and that might lead some other teams this year into thinking it's, oh, we can just plug in Tom Brady and we'll win. But I think that's also a credit to his work ethic to keep going at, what is he, 57 now or something?
He's a million years old, so, and he just keeps doing it.
He's not going to stop until someone stops.
I don't feel like he's going to stop now. If last year and the family situation didn't stop him, I don't see why that would change to next year, unless he physically feels like he can't go anymore.
Well, it's a career path at this point. You spend all your time in New England working up, getting your tenure, all of that. You retire, really retire, come back, go to Florida for a couple of years. Ah, it's nice, sunshine, I'm loving it. Now you got all this money and nothing to do with
it.
Right.
And
where are you going next?
And you're still,
hey, I got an idea, let's go to Vegas.
Spend it all.
Let's go.
Yeah, there you go. You're still good at it. You know, some people want to knock him and say, he was like, as far as stats go, top five.
If he's so bad, beat him.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the playoffs. They weren't the best team this year, but they found ways to win enough games to get into the playoffs. It was a garbage division, but they got in somehow. So that's what I'm saying, man, is all those people that really want Tom Brady just out the door, you know, he's still putting up some very big numbers. And he's still providing another night here of big football. Whether you like Tom Brady or not, you're all looking forward to Dallas and Tampa Bay tonight with Tom Brady certainly leading in this thing. So should be a fun one tonight. Let's see if we can keep going. I mean, super wild card weekend for the most part, save for one half between San Francisco and Seattle, was really crazy, was really fun to watch. Let's see if Tampa Bay and Dallas can deliver and follow up that act. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Top Text Tuesday. Stay safe out there. I hear the snows are coming. Good night, Northern Colorado.